All last year, David Trainer gave us securities that he evaluated as dangerous. Last week, he talked about a couple that he missed on. This week, however, it's the ones he got spot on. It's the big winners, meaning losers, in the danger zone. Yes, it's the danger zone. That means David Trainer, the president and founder of New Constructs, is joining us right now, as he does each week at this time. And last week, well, we went through the picks that he made in 2018 for the lowlights. We were talking about the things where he got it wrong and some of the reasons why, because if you understand why sometimes this doesn't work, that'll also give you more faith in what you're looking for and how you understand and read the research. Today, however, we are looking at the things that he got right, the ones where he gets to do a little celebrating.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And if you followed his advice, you'd get to do some with him. Now, if you want to see more about all that they do, you want to see the most attractive and most dangerous lists, you want to read the blog that they do about all their danger zone picks to get more information on what we discuss here, well, that's easy. Just go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, @newconstructs. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm glad to be back.
We are talking about companies that last year you sounded the alarm on.
Danger, danger.
But that we now can look back and go, you got it right. So who's the first one that you would call a highlight from 2018?
Well, let me take a quick note and to speak overall for just a second on the fact that 26 out of our 31 danger zone picks last year saw negative returns. 19 out of 31 underperformed the S&P. As an equal-weighted portfolio, it was down 12% versus the S&P's 8% decline. So overall, we did well, even though we had some big misses, as we talked about last week. And, yeah, we'll talk about some of the big winners. The top of the list starts with Snap.
Snap, of course, it is ticker symbol SNAP. It was distinctly a stock that you hated from basically the moment it was available.
Yeah, that's right. We published an IPO report on this stock. We doubled down again last year in August when we made it part of our micro bubble group. This thing was doomed from the beginning. You talk to the insiders, they'll tell you, you know, the only reason the IPO happened is because certain people needed liquidity, not because this was a good business. I mean, launching as an independent firm against Facebook's Instagram, is just, you know, from a business competitive strategy perspective, made zero sense. The economics of the business were terrible. Everything was wrong about this, except for the fact that you had the sell side analysts cheering it on, right, while they cashed big underwriting checks. So this was a classic example of how investors, especially average investors, should take sell side ratings with a grain of salt. Super classic example of that.
That was Snap. What's your next pick that you can crow about from last year?
Installed Building Products.
Installed Building Products. That's ticker symbol IBP. What about that case?
We published that in May, and it was down 46% while the S&P was down 8%. And by the way, Snap was down 56% while the S&P was down 11%. But Installed Building Products was, Chuck, it was one of those roll-up schemes we talk about all the time, where you do a bunch of acquisitions, it drives earnings up, it makes money for the executives because the company gets bigger and so their compensation benchmarks get higher, it makes money for all the companies that get acquired, it makes a lot of money for Wall Street, which helps support the trading and typically gets all the advisory fees for all the acquisitions that go on. So everybody makes money on these deals for a little while. Everybody except investors make money on these deals in the end. And what happened, even though we couldn't exactly time it, you know, we talked about last week, we're not always great with exactly when the catalyst or what the catalyst will be and when it will kick in. But this one really hit the skids last year as the returns on invested capital and the mounting debt finally became too much for investors to handle. And the stock took a nosedive. And we think it's only got farther to fall. The governance, the culture behind a business that makes these kinds of bad acquisitions just to drive up the headline superficial numbers, that's rotten. And it's not like they can fix that right away. You got a lot of overpriced assets, probably of not a lot of really successful integrations. You've got a housing market that's no longer really as vibrant as it once was. So this one's been a bad stock, and we're not looking to close the position here anytime soon.
So that's Installed Building Products, IBP, and your third big loser, which for you, of course, means it's a big winner since you said it was dangerous, from 2018 is?
Spotify Technology. That was down 37% since its direct listing, while the S&P was down 12%. This was another one of those situations where we're like, okay, the business model doesn't make sense. Spotify is beholden to the record companies. They own all that content. Spotify is nothing but a middleman. If Spotify makes too much money selling the owner's content, well, then the owners will charge more. If Spotify makes too much money overall, maybe the owners just put Spotify out of business. So it's just one of those business models that never made sense. Of course, it makes sense for the underwriters and Wall Street because they make a lot of money underwriting these kinds of IPOs. They didn't make as much on Spotify because it was a direct listing, but the underwriting fees I remember for Snap were, you know, $100 million. So you get the idea here. There's a lot of money involved for the people that are selling the stock, and oftentimes there's a lot of money to be lost for people who buy the stock. This is another one where we just, again, we didn't see a viable business model to begin with. There's growing competition from the Pandoras, the Apple Musics. There's a lot of people that can do this business. They don't really have any meaningful competitive advantage. It's not profitable. Our best case scenario for these guys would be that they would take ownership of their content, and that would mean it would be worth about $185, which is around where it IPO'd. That's not going to happen. You know, record companies are by no means in any short order here going to give up ownership of their content. And so there's still plenty of downside in this one.
So there were three winners. Now, we should point out, you talked about 31 individual companies. There were also a couple of Danger Zone picks where we were talking about broader concepts and how that would get folks in. So those would have been weeks where there wasn't really somebody to throw in the pool. I'm curious, since you and I last talked, which was in the middle of December before we got to doing the reviews here, so it'll be a month between your last pick of 2018 and the one you make your first pick of 2019. If the market is headed towards a downturn, you've always said, you know, the market can remain irrational longer than we can remain solvent, that you need a good catalyst, etc. The rising tide sometimes works against you. Things have momentum, and you know, you'll say the things don't look great, but the momentum may be able to outweigh us. If the momentum of the market is changing, when you look ahead for the Danger Zone for 2019, easier to pick things that are going to get in trouble or harder in these kinds of market conditions?
A more volatile, a more rational market is a catalyst for us across a lot of these picks. As investors, in our opinion, effectively lose patience with some of these high-flying stocks. I mean, look at what's happened to Netflix over the last few weeks. The economics of that business have always been broken. And now you're starting to hear even some of these fast money people who are all about momentum starting to back off and acknowledge the coming competition from Disney, the existing competition from Hulu and Amazon. Like, how does this business work? There's a great report out on Bloomberg where the analyst talks about how Netflix could be the AOL of OTT. And we think that's a great analogy. There's been a lot of patience extended towards Netflix because, as some of my counterparts on CNBC have said back to me when I've been on the show, profits, who cares about profits, right? But in a bear market, people start to care about profits. And when they become more discriminating about profits and business models, yeah, these Danger Zone picks are going to work really well.
Well, I know that you hold yourself to a very high standard. As you pointed out, you only had a couple of losers last year. They were big misses, but you still called yourself on those last week, and you were equally as hard on yourself that way as, and probably more hard on yourself last week for the ones you got wrong than you were this week being congratulatory on the ones you got right. But it'll be very interesting to see what you've got for us ahead in 2019. David, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
That's David Trainer, everybody. And if you want to learn more about the most attractive and most dangerous lists, the things he talks about in the Danger Zone and more, you're going to go to newconstructs.com on Twitter at newconstructs. All right, we're heading for home on the January 14th edition of Money Life. Up next, it's the Market Call. Stay tuned. We'll be talking stocks when we come back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.